Children Church can go ahead and be dismissed, as well as the newer group that they're having. I forget exactly what they called that. Praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to see everybody. You know, it's kind of a weird Sunday. It was beautiful this morning and then rainy. And then down in Jefferson, you know, it was pouring down rain, thundering. And then 20 minutes later, it was sunny again. And it's crazy. So as you guys know, last August, I got married to Connie. And we ended up going, so for the first week, we ended up going over to New York. You know, and it's crazy how when you're away, the Holy Ghost and God kind of still speaks to you in a way. So, you know, while we were over in New York, you know, there's a lot of spiritual warfare that we were feeling. And it felt like, you know, it was heavy. It felt like we were being watched. And, you know, every single time we would go through grocery lines and everything, you know, it just seemed like every single person was kind of, in a sense, judging us. And, you know, I was confused. I know. And it was while driving. So it was a heavy feeling like we were being watched and everyone was almost upset with you. So there's two verses I wanted to read, John 16:13 and Acts 26:18. John 16:13 says, "However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Acts 26:18 says, "To open their eyes to turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they will receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So Wednesday night, we ended up going over to a church down in Buffalo, a UPCI church. And I remember when we were on our way, you know, I was telling Connie, you know, like, I wonder how, when we go inside this church, how the Spirit's going to feel. Because the last 3 days we've been, you know, around, it's been very negative. And it felt like everybody was watching us. And, you know, we just wanted to know, you know, what it would feel like, you know, inside that church. So it was heavy in the city, and I was interested to see how the church would be and how the Spirit felt. I felt that I was feeling that way because so many people were broken and hurting, that I just wanted to be around God's presence moving in a church again. And honestly, a break from the spirits that we were feeling in that state. I believe that this the spirit that we were feeling was almost like what I was previously talking to Connie out about, was a cloud over top of the city. When the devil has a spiritual stronghold over top of a city or a person, it causes discord, anger, and sin. It causes you to catch up. It causes you to go into a place where when you have the Holy Ghost, you almost feel like you're drowning. And I feel like that's what we were feeling in New York when we were going through. We felt like we were drowning because we're around so many of these negative spirits. And we just wanted almost like a release of that, from that. It doesn't matter. So what I felt with that and what God kind of reminded me, because the second that we walked into this church, you know, we did. We felt a release. We felt a comforting spirit. And I feel like what God kind of showed me was, it doesn't matter what goes against this church, the world, or what happens inside the world. We will always have the church to look to. And we will always have our brothers and sisters in the church that we can rely on. This week I was reading in Job 28. The Bible talks about where wisdom is found. It says, "It cannot be valued from the gold of Ophir when the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the prince of wisdom is above rubies." And I feel like the most impactful verse for me was Job 28:28. "And unto man he said, Behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from understanding, from evil is understanding." While reading this book this week, it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. It reminded me a lot of things. Job 28:28 says that the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. This is a constant reminder that no matter how dark the world gets, as long as you stay close to the church and God, you have wisdom and understanding, which is one of the most important things I feel to have. So I feel like, you know, God wants to move a different direction in Ashtabula County, and the devil has every single ability to do whatever he wants on this physical world. He has no control over the power of the Holy Ghost and God's power, though. The devil is going to do whatever he can to stop our churches from progressing. But we have to remember that at the mention of his name, demons have to flee. When we start literally walking in the Spirit and we are walking in the city in the Spirit and we are constantly in prayer, that God is going to begin to release strongholds in this city. The angels are going to begin to surround the city. As I have said before, we're a generation that is broken and is hurting and is looking for a place to be healed. It's been spiritually, it's been going through spiritual warfare and it's been physically bound for years. God wants to start moving and releasing things in the atmosphere, I believe. And I believe that we need to trust God and believe in his power and ability in our churches. We need to start praying that God will begin to show us things in the spirit that we have not been able to see before. And literally pray that God begins to release angels into the atmosphere. The devil has this city bound in the physical realm. But I believe when we break through this barrier in this area, we're going to have revival in our churches. We're going to begin to see God move throughout this whole entire city in a new way, in a new anointing, in a new presence. So John 16:22 says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." I feel like not so much this church in New Line, but Asheville and Conneaut is almost parallel to 16:22 right now. Right now it's heavy, we're bound, and it feels like we're in the bottom of the valley. We have no idea where to start outreaching. We're struggling with going out, and everything started, honestly, I know I talked about it a little bit before, we were planning on starting outreach in Conneaut. And COVID started, and then it kind of brought us back a little bit. So John 16:32 through 33 says, "Behold, the hour cometh, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, and every man in his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We as the church need to remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't matter how dark or messed up this world gets. It doesn't matter how many people throw you down because you go to church. We need to remember that we are not alone. We not only have our brothers and sisters in the church, but we also have God. I believe that we need to come in expectation and faith in God and his ability in our churches. We need to start coming to service as God's about ready to move in a powerful way in the Holy Ghost, and he's about ready to release things in the Spirit. So Mark 5:27 through 30, Brother Drew, and I am almost done, says, "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes?" So I know this is a verse that we've heard quite a bit, but to me it's very powerful, it's very impactful. And I believe that God is going to begin to walk through our city. I believe that people are going to be hungry, but their understanding is faded. I truly believe that God is going to begin to shine light into this church, into the city. I believe that strongholds and that the devil has placed in the city is going to begin to be released. And I pray that God will begin to see, that people will begin to see God, learn what true freedom is, and be open to God's glory and forgiveness. That is all for I have for you guys tonight. Thank you very much, Brother Jerome.
Praise the Lord, church. Amen. So, Pastor called me last night and said, "I want you to speak like you're speaking to 1,000 people." So, 1,000 people would be very intimidating. But I feel like God gave me a word. Last night I went home after a birthday party, and I prayed like I normally do, and like tried to put a message together. I had one, and God's like, "No." And for like 4 hours, God said no to everything. Every commentary I listened to, every book in the Bible I read, just no. It wasn't until 1 o'clock in the morning until I got something. So God made me wait. But the title of this message is Healing Tears. If Matthew wants to come up here and start us off with prayer.
Just pray with us, Lord. Lord, we come before you tonight. Lord, I ask that you just settle into this place like you have been, God. That we can just open up our hearts, our ears, and our minds, God, so we can hear and see the things that you need us to from these messages, Lord. I ask that you just continue to press this church into a deeper level of understanding of your word, God, that we came in here expecting something, Lord, and that we came in here and we're coming in here to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord. I ask all of this in your mighty name. Amen.
So, we always got to start it off with honoring Pastor. It's very nerve-wracking when Pastor isn't here. When he's here, it's like okay, he's gonna tell me, you know, you should have done this or you should have done that if I ask him. Sometimes. Other times he's like, figure it out. But when he's not here, it's an honor that he asked me to do it, but it's very nerve-wracking. I'm up here shaking in my boots. But I just want to give Pastor and his wife a thank you for letting me come up here behind their pulpit. They've been here for a long time, and it's not something like that I take lightly. But I want to start it off with a couple of facts. Did you know that women, on average, sorry, women, cry emotional tears 30 to 64 times in a year, roughly 5 times a month? I told that to Nicole last night, and she laughed at me. She said, those are some strong women. She said, I cry a lot more than that. I said, well, I looked it up on multiple different websites. So, and it wasn't Wikipedia. And she just laughed at me. And the statistics for men was just, I mean, it was not even worth mentioning because I guess dudes don't cry. Right. But there's benefits to tears. There's benefits to crying. And I went on multiple different websites when God started putting this in my heart. And there was like a list of 15 benefits, 20 benefits, 10 benefits. So I went through and I picked out some that kept repeating themselves. Number one was it keeps bad stuff out of your eye. It flushes it out. Number two, it says it helps relieve stress. Number three, it says it helps dry your eyes. Tears give you a mood boost. I laughed at that one. Number five, it says it brings you closer to others. Number six says it dulls pain. 7 is it helps you cope with grief. And my favorite one was number 8. It says it communicates that you need help without words. Humans are the only, quote unquote, animal that they said it was proven. Okay, I've read a bunch of stuff last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. I might be crazy, but I read it. I wrote it down. But it said this, humans are the only ones that cry. No other animal cries. And I think God purposely did that for a reason, to help detox our body, not only in the spiritual, but in the natural. The pastor always says, what happens in the natural, there's obviously something that also happens in the spiritual. I believe God made every detail of our genetic makeup all for a purpose. I don't think there's a coincidence after we cry, we feel free or released. At least I do. I believe God has used tears to help be a part of the healing process. So I put down here, I thought this was a good preacher quote from Jerome. You may be one weeping session with Jesus away from your miracle, or one weeping session with Jesus from your healing. I want to start by reading in Mark chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately, this is speaking of Jesus, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chain. Because they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. This is speaking of the man with legion. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I put a little note here. It says, how many times do we as Christians cry and destroy ourselves, whether that might be literal or more metaphorically, with stones, or put ourselves all alone? But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And if you go longer in the story, it's talking about where Jesus casts out these demons out of this man and sends them into the pigs, and the pigs go running down this steep hill and right into the sea, and they all drown and choke. But the man in the end, when he's finally healed of all of that, he wants to go with Jesus, and Jesus tells him, no, go tell all of your friends, go tell all of your family, tell everybody that what the Lord has done for you. The reason why I said that is because it said that he was crying first by himself. The second time it says he cried, it said that he cried out. This man was full of demons, yet he still knew that there was one way out of all of that, and he cried out for Jesus. And I have a hard time thinking that he was just like, hey, Jesus, I need you to come help me. I think in my mind, when I vividly read this, I read it at 1 o'clock in the morning again, I vividly see a man running from the tombs, screaming for his life. Another story, it's also in Luke in chapter 7, 12 through 17. Now, this is a story about a woman who lost her son. It starts off in verse 12. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, speaking of Jesus, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her and had compassion on her, he said unto her, weep not. And he came out and touched the bear. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Then there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth throughout Judea and all throughout all the regions around about. In both these stories, at the end of the miracle that happens, the word gets spread that Jesus did something. I don't find that as a coincidence either, but this woman, it says that she was a widow. So she already lost one person. And obviously, if she's got a crowd of people around her that helped her carry her son out, they probably knew that her husband died. They probably knew that she was a widow. And now that she lost her son, I can't think in my mind, her weeping was just, I lost my son. Something soft or quiet or gentle. In my mind, I think of a funeral cry when somebody is just wailing unconditionally. This woman is just sitting there, not just letting out a couple tears and wiping away the stains on her cheeks, but probably screaming for her life, just like the man that had the legion. And that ugly, uncontrollable cry is what got the attention of Jesus. The last story I want to read is Luke 7, 36 and 50. And one of the Pharisees desired him, speaking of Jesus, that he would eat with him, and that he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet, so eat dinner with him. And behold, a woman in the city, which is a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with her hair and her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, it might be me at 1 o'clock in the morning, but when I read that, I said, so she just walked into somebody's house? It said that it was the Pharisee's house. Jesus was eating dinner with him. It doesn't say she knocked. It doesn't say she said, hey, can I come in? I know Jesus is there. It said that she knew Jesus was there eating meat. We're eating dinner with the Pharisee's house. At the Pharisee's house, she grabbed her box of ointment, and the very next verse it just says, "and stood at his feet." Me, I was like, "Man, that girl, she wanted what she needed. She was desperate." Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." I read that verse and I was like, well, that was a long time ago and people are still the same today. He's thinking, oh, I got Jesus at my table eating dinner with me and somebody just came in, and now he's thinking, oh, well, if Jesus knew her, he wouldn't want to be around her. He wouldn't want her touching her, touching him. It's just like people today. People are in, that's in the church and out of the church. Amen. And Jesus answered, saying unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Now, if that's me, and Pastor's like, I have something to say to you after, like, I just did that in my spirit, I'm probably sweating bullets because Jesus probably just gave him a revelation of what I just thought of. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? That forgiveth sins also. Simon answered and said, I suppose that one whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightfully judged. And he had turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou that the woman, I entered into the house, thou givest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them down with her hair of her head. Thou hast given me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she's loved much, and whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now in this story, this woman who's in the Bible, they don't name her. Never once does it say her name in that scripture. I know that because I read it multiple times. But it doesn't say her name. But it starts off with saying Pharisee and then says Simon's name. I don't think there's a coincidence to that. There's obviously a deeper reason for that. But this woman had nothing but a pure heart, full of pain and full of sin and her past. And she was just seeking to wash Jesus' feet. She didn't speak a word. None of the verses said she even talked when she did it. She doesn't have a couple tears rolling down her face. Obviously, it's a lot because she's washing his feet. How many of us tonight deal with past pain or hurts that we are hanging on to? How many of us tonight are bound by our past for some reason and we just won't let it go or give it to God? Tonight can be the night that you give it to God. Tonight can be the night that you let God restore your heart. You are loved by people in this church. You are loved by God. He has not forgotten you, but he's looking for you to lean on him. God is looking for your alabaster box. He's looking for your tears. He's looking for your kisses. He's not looking for a judgmental person, but he's looking for somebody who will do what the woman did with the alabaster box and her tears. Tonight, some people need not only to give their past hurts to God, but also to forgive themselves and let themselves free from the past. God has already forgiven them. We as people are hard on ourselves. Trust me, I'm probably the hardest on myself than anybody around me. And some people can be really hard, but I'm probably the hardest on myself about just about everything in life. If I wake up late for work, I am literally yelling at myself in the car the whole way. Like, you should have went to bed and got 8 hours, but Jesus didn't let me. But tonight, we need to reach out. Simon didn't reach out with oil on the master's feet, nor did he wash the feet with his tears and his hair. The woman did, and she was set free from all of her sin and her past. In the previous story of the woman who had lost her husband and her son, Jesus seen the hurt and the tear-stained cheeks and painful cry of this woman and restored the life of her son who lied there lifeless. If you have lost children that you feel are gone forever, I feel like God put it in my heart to say, keep praying. Your tears are not in vain, and your child will serve the Lord again. If you have old pains and past scars that still torment you tonight, you can cry out like both the man who was possessed and the woman who lost her only son, and the Lord will set you free. As I come to a close, understand that crying doesn't make you weak, but it's healthy for your spirit, and the facts say it's healthy for your body. I strongly believe if tears detox you, they detox your body from toxins that your body don't want in the natural. I fully believe there's a reason for crying in the spiritual. I can't list how many services that I've been in where I was just uncontrollably weeping. And when I left that place, I felt more whole than when I came in. The Lord hears your prayers and knows all. The next time you pray, pray with passion and intent, knowing that the Lord hears you. In all the accounts of the Bible, they made themselves known to Jesus. They didn't wait for Jesus to come pull them out, but they took action. We, as Christians or as followers of Christ, shouldn't wait for Jesus to come. Because Jesus could heal everybody in here right now of anything that they're going through, past hurts, all of that. He's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he knows everything. But Jesus isn't just going to heal it just because. Obviously, in the Bible, there's so many stories where people had to reach out. Blind Bartimaeus was probably born blind. I don't know that for sure, but he's obviously blind. It's obvious. He sits out there every day, and he's screaming out to Jesus now. He had to make an action for Jesus to turn around and come back and heal him. We must take action. I told Nicole this. I said, depression is the worst thing to go through. Because when you go through depression, you don't think about anybody else but you. When you go through depression, where do you go? Do you go hang out with friends? You go and hang out in your own room by yourself. You think about all your hurts, all your pains, and you soak in your own self. It is the worst thing to go through. And you have to force yourself. You have to take action to get out of depression. If God is going to heal you from depression, you have to take action. And you have to reach out to God. So to wrap it all up, all three of these people, they all cried out to Jesus. It wasn't, two of them, it was a loud cry out. The last one, it was silent. It was just love. And it was tears from all the hurt and pain that she's had. And she wanted to be forgiven for everything that she did. So take these three stories as something that you can impart in your life, in your day-to-day. Crying is not weak. Men, crying is not weak. It is not weak. That's all I have. Brother Jerry's going to come up and end.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate those words tonight. Brother Brandon talked about wisdom, understanding, and we understand something. They were in New York, and they could feel the spirits of darkness. And we, as God's people, we know that there's a place of safety. They knew they get to that church. They didn't know what to expect, but they knew that was a place of safety. That's wisdom and understanding. That know that among God's people there's protection and security. And Jerome talked about crying. You know, many different levels of crying. There's different ways we could cry. Troy and I were talking about an individual. Brother David Bryan called him Big Bad John. It's the guy that comes to the service and I'll come, but I think it's a waste of time. And the next thing you know, they're up here and the tear starts to come down. You know, that's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. But there's many different ways to cry. Some people through their actions. Some people maybe through a message, their cries for help. And that story about the boy in the tombs, if you read them scriptures, there's no other reason why the Lord crossed over that sea. He heard that cry that far off. He did nothing else but cast that devil, and he departed. That's the only reason he went there. The woman with the alabaster box, she knew that she had anointed the feet of Jesus. And it's funny how, you know, she knew she had a need. And there's the disciples rebuking her, right? Well, you know, we as God's people, we have wisdom, we have understanding to know that God can, God will. He's done it so many times for us. And I think when that happens, we get complacent and just think he's going to do it again. and we don't have that cry, you know, that desperation that we should, because sometimes we just expect Him to and don't even ask, right? And I think we all have been there. We just know the Lord's going to take care of it. But if we get like the woman with the alabaster box in those knees and get down in prayer and cry out to God, whether, you know, the tears flow or whether it's just a cry for help, that we know that God will move. That's our security. That's our wisdom and understanding that know that God can and God will move in our behalf. And, you know, Brandon and Connie, you know, they're in a world of a city of darkness all around them. And this world, when they cry out in many different forms. But, you know, like Goshen was middle of Egypt. They were secure in all of that chaos. God's people were secure. And we should have that wisdom and understanding. God's word, sometimes it's black and white, sometimes a little gray, and sometimes it's through revelation, you know. But that's what keeps us diving into God's word. Those are treasures. You know, we keep digging. That's whole purpose. You know, that's why on the 100th time you read that verse, a light bulb goes off. God reveals something to you. You know, that's wisdom and understanding. And He's not going to reveal everything to us. You know, what if you read a book and it took you 5 minutes to read it and you knew the whole story in 5 minutes, how it ended? Would you read it again? No, absolutely not. You wouldn't even bother picking it up. But God's word is forever, forever popping up treasures in our life. And that's the wisdom and understanding that we have of Him. So as we close here tonight, our worship team, are they up here? You're ready to go. I just ask all of us, you know, that place of security in our life. We know where our safety place is. We know it's among God's people. We know it's in the presence of Almighty God. But I ask us here tonight, when sometimes we get in our flesh and sometimes we get in situations and we just think we can handle that. We don't really cry out to God. We just say, I got this. You know, we need to be the lady with the alabaster box, because I don't think there's any situation too small, because small things turn into big things. And I think we need to get back to, we know God will. We know that. We know and understand God's power, His love, all of those things. But I think sometimes He wants us to be the lady with the alabaster box, no matter how small the need, and not be like the disciples and rebuke her. Amen. So as we all stand and just ask within ourselves, as our worship team begins to play, that cry, Lord, help me. Show me, Lord. I need to cry out to You once again, no matter what the need is. I need to cry out to the Almighty, because that's the wisdom and understanding that I have, that know that You can and You will. And that's safety and that's security in my life. Amen.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to Him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God in one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, You will reign forever. Powerful. broken, every knee must bow. Is the name of Jesus powerful? Yes, eternal, eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. We lift it up for all the world to see. Your name is all they need.
There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name.
There is no other name but Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's just take a moment. Let's go into prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for this presence that we felt in this place. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to keep moving, Lord, throughout our services. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that whoever it is that is crying in this place, Lord, that you would just be able to, Lord, just remind them, Lord, that they can always go to you, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you just have your way in these services in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys are welcome to continue to pray in as long as you would like.